bullshit.
No, and the people are—it is all bullshit because the true pandemic is those dying from the vaccine. Because we know the only people that died in 2020 were really, well, the nursing home people, you know, people that did have an upper respiratory infection or different issues that would have normally went treated with normal. And I'm not talking about I'm not even talking about hydrochloroquine and ivermectin.
Also, people who were unfortunate enough to turn to the hospitals at the first sign of distress, and they
well,
went
they
in there,
pushed them
and
in
they
there,
got fucking
right?
Whacked, plain and simple.
Right. Right, that's exactly that is how it was set up and designed, and that's what happened. But you know, as soon as you know, we knew when they pivoted to the case demic with the PCR testing, and you know, if there was no test, there'd be no anything. Okay, but we know that they did that, and it's funny because the media and everybody and the entire left, especially, I mean, everybody was so on board with this. You know, when you go digging into the past. And you go, hey, wait, because sometimes I'll just run searches about the CDC and, you know, see who was doing investigations on them at certain points in time. And I'm like, wow, that's a CNN article. Oh, wow, that's a Huffington Post article. So these people were pumping out articles in the past about not trusting this. Oh, the CDC screwed up again, or there's corruption here, debating the vaccine and autism. There was like a 2009 Huffington Post article where they were proving that people with mitochondrial disorders were at a major risk for vaccine injury. Okay, now I want you to think about this. How would you know if you have that? Okay, unless you've been having issues, were already under a doctor's care, and somehow knew this. So the average person really doesn't know this. And they have Anthony Fauci telling U.S. News back in 2009, if we can show that individuals of a certain genetic profile have a greater propensity for developing adverse events, we may want to screen everyone prior to vaccination for undetectable diseases like mitochondrial disorder. So he's saying that people should be screened before vaccinated. Well, one, we know little babies are not screened. They're poking away at them, you know, from birth. But when they set up this vaccine, of course, they weren't distributed to your family doctor. They were distributed to pharmacy companies or in parking lots, and Joe Blow drives up in his car and gets a shot. There was no screening process. So that's how now we have.
Can you imagine how insane that is? You drive up and there's a, hey, you ready for your shot? Yeah. Hey, do you have any pre-existing conditions? It might.
Do they ask that? Yeah. I don't even think they do.
Hey, you know, they didn't say, and if you get your shot and you drive 500 feet from here and steer yourself off into traffic, we'll be there to help you out too. You go into fucking shock. I mean, it's like, what?
Right. So are these, like, right, these are the people right now that are just not waking up from their sleep. They're just dying, heart inflammation, all of these problems. But yeah, they didn't hand these things out to doctors. They handed them out like a factory, told everybody in the beginning, it was like, oh, well, you shouldn't, you know, if you had adverse reactions, you shouldn't. Oh, and then they forgot about that. They just kept moving the goalpost. We know that. But it is funny how the media and left media at one time were investigating or would at least do a decent story on any corruption within the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, whatever. And then suddenly, everything they say is gospel. Nobody remembers stories they did 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. No, nobody remembers that. Nobody remembered what went down during the 80s with AIDS and the major debates. And that was something else I did this week. I decided, you know, when you're trying to learn something new now, I go, well, I don't want to look at everything that's now because everything now is manipulated. Let me go into the past a little bit and see if I can find the same playbook. And then sure enough, I found a documentary called House of Numbers and it was all about HIV and AIDS and the great debate of how it was never isolated and how it was the AZT, you know, that was really killing people, and a lot of debates. And one of the things they were talking about was the cancers that were, you know, well, where did the cancers come from? And then they go digging deeper and they're like, well, they're, you know, a lot of people are sniffing some amyl nitrate, you know, in the nightclub scene. Well, there you go. There was an indicator of there were a lot of the lung pneumonias and cancers. And then in the same documentary, I thought it was very interesting. In this documentary, you had Gallo, you had Fauci, you had Kerry Mullis, you had a lot of people. I'm like, oh my. So Kerry Mullis was saying in the early 80s, you know, we were facing double-digit inflation, high unemployment. They were looking to cut domestic programs, where he said there were memos around the CDC that said, you know, hey, we need to find a new plague. We need to find something. And sure enough, you know, it was the new plague was born.
And Kerry Mullis, the creator, he Nobel laureate for the PCR test. I was going to say earlier when you were speaking, but you were on such a roll.
I'm sorry.
I have a wooden spoon here. When my guests get on a roll, I just bite the wooden spoon, and the name of Sean Hannity is on the end of the spoon. Because he cuts off his guests every 30 seconds to make it seem like he really knows what he's doing. But I and Mr. Know-It-All, but I'm not Mr. Know-It-All, but Mullis, you know, I've been reading a lot about him. And of course his death was this is the timing and everything. Late 2019, very suspicious. We might be looking into that in the future, but he really did not like these guys whatsoever. I mean, he had a disdain for Gallo and Fauci and Redfield and all these guys. He basically thought they were carpetbaggers, didn't know what they were doing, and they had no business being there making decisions. And you could tell he just had this career-long disdain and almost a hatred for these folks, you know, these folks.
Oh, yeah, you could see it in some of the interviews, you know. And that was another thing that was in this documentary. Again, same playbook. The testing mechanisms were one person could have a test that said they were positive, then one could say that was negative, and that kept happening. And then the goal was to get the people on the medication. Now, the people that rejected the medication, like there was this one woman who was positive, and she rejected the medication, and she had joined a support group, and everyone in the support group went on the AZT, and it was like her and another person rejected the medication, and everybody in the group, everyone else in the group died except these two women. And then there was a story of this family that adopted out of the country, and out of the country, the baby tested negative, come back to America, baby test positive. And they put the baby on the medication. Then they found one of these scientists that they were a part of, you know, the virus has never been isolated. It doesn't exist, which is what intrigued me. And he told them, get her off the medicine. And then the medical industry kept saying, you know, she's only has another year. And then it was like another two. Oh, she won't make it to double digits. That child lived to be 24. And the only reason she died was she gave birth to a child. And in today's world, the government will make you treat your child or take it from you. So that child was being treated as HIV positive, and I think at like 2 years old, died. Well, she got herself so sick that she went on HIV medication because she started having like pancreatitis, all kind of other issues. Probably stress brings on illness, it weakens your immune system.
Oh yeah.
And because she started those medications, she then died. But for all those years, she grew normally and had a very healthy life. Had the government not forced her to give her child HIV medications, chances are her child and her would probably still be alive. But the testing, what I noticed in this documentary, was the same. You're going to have to trust in the doctor that says, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're positive," but you really have no way of knowing. Maybe you weren't positive. So here we go. We had the PCR test for this, and you know, suddenly all these people are positive, but they're not sick. Oh, it's asymptomatic spread, blah, blah, blah. It's all bullshit. And we know it's bullshit, but it's all by design. So I do like going to look into the past to see the same corruption. And who was at the helm of that corruption in the 80s?
Fauci.
Anthony Fauci.
Yeah.
So somehow all of the media forgot about that. You know, here we are.
Well, I'll say it again. I was in the New York market, and the Village Voice, of course, they pumped out a lot of investigative stuff. I looked up to a lot of those guys and tried to break bread with them. Not break bed.
Mm-hmm.
But break bread with them and try to, you know, pick their brains, because these guys were like, they were ferocious. They went after Fauci. And they went after mm-hmm. the government. They were vicious. And that there's no more, I guess, the modern day equivalent of the Village Voice would be like, I don't know, Huffington Post or the Daily Kos or something like that. But these guys actually could write and could investigate, but they were that far left. And they fucking hated the government. They hated everybody that had anything to do with this. And now the same folks... Of course, the Voice isn't around anymore, but the same type of folks, the Huffington Post, the Daily Kos, and the mainstream media, they love the government. Boy, they really are. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because they can't survive on their own, and they need handouts, and they need ads, and I think if they play the game, they'll get the pharmaceutical ads. I think that Fauci is such a petty tyrant that he would literally call Pfizer and say, "What are you advertising with these guys for? They're very negative. Pull their ads." I mean, I wouldn't put anything past this crew. So if you don't play ball, you don't get the pharmaceutical ads. Plain and simple. And you don't get the federal dollars, because a lot of these, it's three or fourfold, really. A lot of these publications, the Washington Post, they can't really make it on their own. So they get federal subsidies, and then they get money laundered. They get money from the Gateses. They get money from the Ford Foundation. Just handouts for no reason. And other than that, don't write anything bad about Bill and Melinda Gates, please. You know, here's $1.3 million, like USA Today. The list is long. These guys have greased everybody and bribed everybody. And it's okay if you're in the media, because it's like, oh, it's for a stipend for, inner city reporting or some bullshit. You know, they always come up with some, they usually tag these things with diversity, and then the money doesn't go anywhere near the streets or anywhere near the neighborhoods that it should go to. And the reporting doesn't reflect that. It's just money laundering and bribery and kickbacks. And so they have to play the game. It's really the craziest thing. That's the major swing I see. The difference between being in journalism in the late 80s when I started and into the 90s and what it is now. Now it's just, it's literally pay for play. That's all it is. I see it too. I see it in the right wing media. I understand pay for play.
Oh, gosh.
I understand how people get interviews. I understand how people rise to the top. These no name people, it's like, yeah, it's pay for play. They're mm-hmm. getting paid by somebody. They're filling a role, and, you look at these guys back in the day, like Bill Mitchell and things like that. It's like, and I look at these guys and I say, and people say, "You want to go on Bill Mitchell's show?" I said, "He won't be here in a year or two." "And you want to go on this guy's show now?" I said, "He won't be here in a year or two." They're just plugs. They pump these guys up and they pay them. And they try to depict them as some beacons of, objectivity and trust, and they never end up being that way because it's all fake.
And well, so, that was the birth of alternative media, which was so hopeful. You're like, oh, this is great. You know, we're going to have real people doing great things until you find out that these are networks. And the majority of them are propped up by someone with certain agendas. And that's why you'll see the same old guests run through many of these shows. And it's been happening for years. So we already know. And this is factual because you could go dig up archived articles. We already know the CIA is embedded in media. That's a fact, right? Just, I think it was today I had to laugh. Reuters had came out and they're saying, you know, because suddenly the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset is starting to make more mainstream news, which 2 years ago, you know, nobody would even utter it. But now it's starting to seep out and more people are talking about it. And Reuters is like, oh, you know, the World Economic Forum is not a plot. It's not a secret plot to rob, you know, private ownership and some other mumbo jumbo. And you have to laugh. When Reuters, you could go look them up, and it's been said, you know, that the CIA was embedded in them. But it's the fact of the matter, if the World Economic Forum doesn't hide what they're doing. They have been years of conferences, many books written, and they say you will own nothing and be happy. So I don't even know what the hell they're talking about, that it's some conspiracy that people, you know, ooh, we can't think that, you know, they're plotting right up in the open.
The fucking moron Schwab wrote a book.
He a couple books.
He plots it all out. I mean, that's why I get a kick out of these facts. Oh, there's no proof. What are you talking? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's gotten to the point where people should realize, and I think many smart people do, when you see a fact check, or some fact checkers come out, or some organization come out, right? You should understand that the complete opposite is true, because they don't fact check. They don't fact check the communists.
Right? You're constantly forced to just go. And again, who has time for this? It's hard. You know, you're trying to conduct your life, but you're constantly forced when you see something that you know doesn't add up, or someone like my age who I go, you know, I remember that, you know, 2 decades ago, I've got to go look that up or what have you. So you're forced to do that because you know that it's been nothing but orchestrated manipulation for decades. And that's why you're forced to go back into the past, dig stuff up, compare and contrast to now. But almost everything that's thrown at us is a master manipulation. Yeah, I mean, we talked about the Flexner Report on your show, I don't know, a month ago, the Rockefeller Foundation and their hands in things and how they manipulated things. and so then that trickles down to medicine and the scientists and the doctors and the pharmaceutical industry. Everything is manipulated. So how does the average person know what truth is? As an average citizen, I'm never going to have what I want. You know what I wanted from day one in March. And I sent you a picture of a text that I had with a major MAGA influencer on March 15th, 2020.
Yeah.
Where they asked me, oh my God, are you freaking out? And what was my answer? It's bullshit. I'm not buying into this crap one bit. That was March 15th. I said that to quite a few of MAGA influencers, which is when they all ran away from me. It was, you know, Mike Moore's the only one that said, hey, come on my podcast and vent. But, you know, the MAGA people ran away from me because they didn't like that from day one I was saying this bunch of bullshit. And well, I was, you know, it's funny though.
Where are they at now? They don't even have a ship. Oh, they don't even have a ship.
Yeah. Yeah,
the ship has sunk.
Exactly. Well, and some of them are still out there running the game, and I know the game that they're running, but well, we'll just leave it there. But you know, I said it on the radio show in New York. I said it on your show multiple times. They are wagging the dog. They are not giving the people what the people need to hear. The questions aren't being answered. They've got these jokers in the press room. We're stuck with these couple of scientists. This is so controlled and manipulated. It's disgusting and obvious. So now we have, you have government scientists like Fauci, you know, everybody at the NIH, CDC, FDA. Then you have the television, mainstreamed doctors and scientists like, you know, Gupta and whoever Fox puts on. And then you have the new elevated doctors that are out there over the course of the 2 years. Then you have these scientists that are virtually ignored and buried globally, who are the terrain theory scientists. I want to see a battle between all three levels. I think that's what everyone deserves, because so much data has been manipulated through the years, and the perceptions and the robotic doctors and the robotic scientists. How do people know the truth? We're never going to have it. I know we're not. I'm just saying what I would love to have, which is why I am forced to go and learn these things, find different perspectives of different scientists. And then it's up to me to determine what makes sense to me. But I think every person should have that opportunity, and not everybody has that time. And there's a lot of information out there. Like I said, that House of Numbers documentary, I stumbled across it, and I was quite stunned at the people in there. Redfield was in there, and Gallo and Fauci, Mullis, other scientists that you'll hear from. But of course, remember, those scientists are always called the kooks. But in the Flexner report, it was designed to be that way. So who's the real
kook? You want to marginalize the real people out here, the truth tellers, and make them seem like quacks and wacky. And then the carpetbaggers slide into town, and everybody believes them, and they corner the market on whatever they want to corner the market on when it comes to medicine.
Right. And it's purposely confusing to people, because when you go study one thing, you go, well, that makes sense. This makes sense. Well, what do you mean? Wait, what do you mean you didn't isolate this? What does that mean? Okay, I want to learn about that. And then as you're learning about it, you're like,
wow. God forbid, though, from my perspective, God forbid you start promoting that. They'll come to your door and yank you out of your house. I mean, this is like have to be a slow drip.
But this is right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard, because if we couldn't even get that briefing room at 5 o'clock to have real doctors and scientists in there holding Fauci's feet to the fire, now you know why it's by design, because they didn't have it that way. He was the emperor.
He's quarterback. He's running the scheme. Right. He's running the whole scheme. Right. And you know, it's funny to watch Trump when he is, why didn't you fire him? Well, you know, I should have fired him. And his answer
wasn't
always
possible.
Changes. He wasn't running things. People find it hard to believe that Trump, too, is a bit player in this. This was set up, and, you know, Trump would step aside, and Fauci would get on the podium, and then they had this Fauci and Trump rivalry bullshit, and you're like, wait a minute, this is why, if he dislikes him so much, if he dislikes Christopher Ray so much, fire him. No. That doesn't make any sense. You can't get rid of top cast members in your global play, right?
No. Again, that was probably all laid out even before him. The person with the most secure role was Fauci, because he still has it. The same way Christopher Wray has his role. You know, they're all there to serve a purpose. You know, there's no way Trump could have fired him. No possible way. No more than Joe Biden could fire him, because he doesn't have a job. He has an assignment. And he's always had an assignment, because he was there in the 80s. You know, even in that Huffington Post article, I mean, basically the article was revolving around how, you know, they were trying to quietly strip vaccine research dollars, because they were researching autism, you know, and vaccines and the chemicals in them and environmental issues. And but they were, you know, there was a cadre of vaccine officials, the CDC, vigorously opposing funding, you know, to, you know, research this stuff, even though I think Congress had allocated money towards it. And these were leftovers. This is 2009. These were leftovers from the Bush administration that were doing this.
Let me throw this in because I just want to add my two cents, and I didn't want to get in the way of your dissertation. But
you keep it up, you. You keep it up. I'm taking 2 weeks off.
What do you mean?
I'm teasing you.
No, I'm not. I'm not breaking. I'm not busting chops. I'm serious. So you talk about Reuters. I happen to know a lot about Reuters. So in the 70s, I think it was 77, Rolling Stone and both the New York Times, you know, back when Rolling Stone was a good magazine, they had some good investigative stuff too. And the New York Times, they both broke stories that tied Reuters to the CIA and saying it cooperated on a regular basis with the CIA. Of course, Reuters came back and said that's nonsense. But from my upbringing in the intelligence ranks, you learn who the go-to, who the boilerplate, whatever, folks are that you can leak a story to. Of course, Reuters was always one. Now, if you talk to guys in Intel now, you talk to guys who have worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, that Reuters is still a go-to place. Bloomberg would be the equivalent of the new Reuters of the 1970s. Bloomberg is bought and paid for. Totally in the tank, but not a lot of people understand that Reuters was also, it came out just a couple of years ago. I think it was 2018 or 2019. It was while Trump was in office that Reuters had received a lot of funding from the UK government. They were pumping money into Reuters. Now, this was a while back. This is the same time the allegations were raised about the CIA, et cetera, and Reuters' connections to the CIA. But it was all about, okay, and the UK may not have been the only government pumping money into Reuters and so that they could go to the Middle East and give the Middle East more coverage, okay? So there's a lot of money that went into this.
Oh, yeah.
And the BBC then, okay, and it was... I have to call this up. Hold on. Give me a second because this is, I got to get this. Let me get it.
Reuters. Is it, and you're saying that's 77, right? So AIDS came right in the early 80s.
Well, you see, they're setting a lot of things up. Hold on. It says, okay, here's a story. The UK government had already been funding the Latin America department of Reuters at the time through a shell company. And then expanded the Middle East operation through another shell company. But news executives thought that, hey, this might look suspicious, right? So let's funnel the money. Listen to this. Let's funnel the money to Reuters through public grants to the BBC.
There you go.
So they were funneling money through the BBC and then to Reuters for the Middle East. And they were already funding Reuters for Latin America. Now, the one thing about Reuters is that you'll notice recent history, if you want to tie that in, Reuters will not call a terrorist a terrorist. That's like in their code and
in their handbook,
style manual. You know, everybody, AP has its own style manual, and everybody used to have an AP style manual book on their desk when we were daily newspaper reporters. And when in doubt, get the AP style book out. It was a nice little binder, about 5x6x9, and you look up everything. You know, how do you say this?
Wow,
how do you say that?
Wow,
AP had the proper news thing. So Reuters had their own. So Associated Press would use the term terrorist in reference to jihad and extremists and things like that. Reuters did not, and they still don't. They still have a problem. And then, see, when the Wire stories come out in the old days,